Louder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther.
And Hopper.
3 billion videos were demonetized on August 29th, 2016. The platform that controlled the machines, YouTubeNet, sent two computers back through time. Their mission was to destroy the Mug Club of the free speech resistance and to watch late-night comedy die a slow, painful death. The first computer was programmed to separate this channel from its subscribers, even disabling notifications. It failed. The second was sent to ban an event at the University of Michigan on October 25th. As before, the free speech resistance was able to send a lone warrior, an entertainer to preserve the event, a protector. It was just a question of which one would arrive first.
Come with me if you want to laugh.
Of the weekend coming. That's a Thursday live stream, and we have in third chair today, actually, that you couldn't tell that he was dancing because his dance is the equivalent to restless leg syndrome. Nick DiPaolo at
What are you
Nick
talking about? I'm 1/8 black.
You're one.
Ancestry.com said something like that. No, I'm serious.
NickDip.com and your Twitter, as long as they allow you, is where?
Is at Kevin Meaney. No, at Nick DiPaolo.
Probably the least happy guest to be
at Nick DiPaolo.
We have Corda Black, of course, producing at Gerald Morgan, G. Morgan Jr. What's the wine of the day, sir?
We have Bialy Black Chicken. Sorry, the racist.
Corda Black, eighth black, and there we go. And we have Ted Cruz in studio. Senator
Boom.
Ted Cruz in studio.
Boom.
He's going to be thrilled that this is his lead. Before we move on with that, listen, my question of the day, we're obviously going to get the Kavanaugh hearings and a rebuttal of the gay Latino over there at Vox. As a society, we kind of have a give and take values, right? They define us. Compassion's important. Mercy's important. Where do you think the scales need to tip, though, toward justice, presuming innocence, empathy versus justice? How do you navigate the balancing act? Comment below. I'll give you my answer later. Are you feeling good there, Nick?
Oh, God. This is terrific.
I think it's the booth.
I thought you had a real studio. I didn't know it was a condo in the suburbs.
I had no idea it was a condo in the suburbs.
I'm actually feeling good about mine now. Listen, no, this is actually beautiful.
You had a run into with a cab driver on the way here, right? Or are we not supposed to talk about that because of the terrorism issue?
Oh no, it was fine. He just spoke. I blame the Hyatt. They call it Hyatt Place Dallas/town. What is it?
The Colony.
The Colony.
Yeah,
that's the name of the town. The Colony.
Yeah, there's also White Settlement.
I'm from the Boston, and you're from the Cleveland.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe area. The Cleveland area.
The Cleveland area.
So I show him in his broken English. I show him the address. He pulls away. 4 minutes into the ride, he hands me this device. It wasn't a black. It was a hybrid of a BlackBerry and a payphone that he built at
with his two candles
in his lane
to the back of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Him and Clockboy got together and made it happen.
And he asked me to type in the address of. It's 5200 Memorial, whatever. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I go, I don't know how to work this. Why am I doing your job? Then he get mad and he pulled over. So now I got the. Now I have the king of Nigeria staring at me with these dead eyes. I'm staring back at him. And then I said, let's use my Waze app. So I burnt up all my battery getting us to the wrong. It took me to the K. What's her name? Bay Hutchinson. What's it? The convention center.
I have no idea.
Hey, Bailey Hutchinson.
I'm leaving you out in this one. All I get is a text from Nick right before he gets to you. I am particularly agitated right now.
Well, let's fix this.
Oh, good.
And then I find out the story, and I feel bad. I'm sorry.
Well, it said Hyatt. I thought it was a real Hyatt. This is like a La Quinta Inn on steroids.
It's very nice, but I'm glad you got here safely. Everyone's glad to have you here.
I'm telling you, I couldn't be happier.
Leading the news, of course, the White House finds no support. Just found out in the FBI report for sexual assault claims against Brett Kavanaugh. This comes from the New York Times, so you know it's real. Quote, with this additional information, the White House is fully confident the Senate will vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And It looks like we might be seeing a confirmation vote on Saturday. Oh. The more information that comes out, here's the truth, the less credible Ford's story sounds. People don't like to hear that. If the left had had their way, it'd be a very different country.
Now then, can you identify the man who raped you?
Most certainly would. Right yonder.
Tom, would you stand up, please? Let's have a good long look at you. Tom, would you catch this, please? Well, then. Good enough for me.
Okay.
Probably guilty. I rest my case.
Can I sentence you, too?
Wait, wait, Mr. Spencer, I raped that girl. I didn't.
Now, hold on, everyone, hold on. Just hold on. Are you certain this is the man who raped you?
Sure as he's black as pitch!
Well, then, that settles it. Guilty as sin.
Wait, wait, no! Mr. Finch, no, no, I wasn't even there that night. My hand doesn't even work, you know this.
Tom, do you mean to tell me that you're questioning a survivor?
That's a bunch of pure baloney and you know it! Don't I deserve a fair trial? It's supposed to be innocent to proven guilty, right? Black lives matter too now, you know?
Yes, at one moment in time, that may have been true, but now we have to believe all women, period. I'm sorry, Tom. There's nothing I can
Everyone,
do.
Everyone, be quiet!
Miss Finch, come back! Don't let him do this to me!
Now, you're saying this man raped you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Guilty!
You know I didn't do it! The hand! Come on, Mr. Finch! Let go! You don't have the authority to do this! What about jury my peers?
I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. She said you did it. Fry him! Next up, the people versus Clarence Thomas.
That sounds about right. Yeah, a little bit of a different hero these days, yeah. Atticus Finch. Did you read To Kill a Mockingbird, Nick, when you were
back? I did. Why would you question that?
I never did.
Well, I was forced to at gunpoint.
No, I never read any of the American classics as a kid growing up. I realized that.
Well, that's because you're a Canuck.
I didn't read any Canadian classics either.
I did.
We spent an entire semester
I
how
did.
He burned down the White House.
The Ken Dryden story.
You spend a semester on Carla Homolka? Is that the one with the little girl from That 70s Show? No, it's the real one. Yeah, it's a horrible place, Canada. That's and our history is very uninteresting. We spent half a year learning about how Canada burned down the White House, and it wasn't even a country. It was still a colony. And that's just because you don't expect your friends to burn down your crap.
That's your biggest accomplishment in years.
Not really all that much of an accomplishment when you think about it. Speaking of the law, police are now warning citizens about drunken birds. This comes from the Duluth Tribune. Chief Ty Takar, I guess is his name, wrote that the department received calls about birds that had appeared to be under the influence, flying into windows, cars, and acting confused. Though to be fair, the main bird in question is demanding a hearing to clear his good name. So he does seem as though, he is doing pretty well for himself.
Look, hashtag not all pigeons, okay?
Not all pigeons, though most pigeons.
Have you ever seen a drunken animal, though? They are absolutely hilarious. Like when they bite into like an apple that's been fermented on the ground or something like that, that's fallen off. Yeah. Like I've seen a drunken deer.
Oh, you mean accidentally?
Yeah, not like
having given beer to your dog. Because
not like at a Kavanaugh party drinking beer until the animal can't walk. You know, nothing like that.
I think bears do that on purpose.
Bears?
Yeah.
They bears get drunk on purpose?
They enjoy the high.
Really?
Yeah.
Can anyone confirm that?
I don't know. We need
Do you have any idea?
I went to school up in Maine. I should know something about that. But I was too drunk to observe the bears and them drunk.
Yeah, you tried many times, but never made
you
it with the alcohol to
bear.
The forest.
Yes.
And then the bear took part in the Devil's Triangle, apparently, after too much mead.
Which is a sexual assault of a bear.
In international news, German parents forgot their 5-year-old at an airport in Germany, in case you're wondering. Police said the mother explained to officers that the family had driven home in separate cars, and each believed that the child was with the other parent. So, this is pretty rough. Spurred interest, of course, in a German remake of the popular holiday classic, Aline Sucht Hause, and that's going to do pretty well at the box office if you actually
rather
account
unoriginal,
for inflation.
Though.
It doesn't seem like the Germans are pretty original.
And it seems like, are these the same parents that you're just supposed to trust and be like, you can't tell me how to raise my kid? Is that the kind of parents? Like,
I think that sounds about right.
Parents just kind of universally suck, in my opinion, a lot of times.
So. It's sort of like Bostonian parents.
Ooh.
They're pretty,
what?
Right?
Whoa, what trying to work me into this sketch, are you?
I'm trying to work you into it. Yeah,
is
you know,
Southie trying
to take part.
How about? Well, I'm using some etiquette here. I let the regulars get these shots in. I can't win in this dump. I mean, crying out loud.
I appreciate it.
The game's rigged. You didn't know that.
But you're right. That's very unoriginal. Oh, one parent thought the other one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one
my parents used when they left me. The Orange Julius.
Oh, Orange Julius.
That's
Your mom had you.
Are they still Orange Julius's? See, did you ever think about back in the
when 50s, I was a 60s? Kid, I referenced it because there were
sure I know. Yeah. But do you think of how expensive the architecture was? back then.
Oh, yeah.
In advertising. Like, that was one big giant commercial for the Orange Julius. Of course you're not going to build an Orange Julius these days. Have you seen an Orange Julius recently? It turned into a drive-in theater where I was raised, actually. The one Orange Julius. Yeah, because then it was used to plaster the drive-in theater.
That big?
But no, well, it became the concession stand for the drive-in theater because they wanted everyone to see it from the road. It's very expensive real estate. You know, there's a drive-in theater in downtown Detroit. Did you know this?
Really?
Yeah, last time I was there, there's a downtown Detroit drive-in theater.
Yeah, I went to the midnight showing. I have three knife wounds in my head.
And no hubcaps. Well, speaking of which, I just watched Midnight Run last night when I was sick. You ever see that with De Niro?
About 150 times, yes.
Ooh.
You a big fan?
Love it. Midnight Run?
Yeah, I had not seen it in at least a decade.
I've never seen it.
What are you, Canadian?
Yeah, borderline. Yeah, was raised. It is a fantastic film. I highly recommend it.
It's a great flick.
Do it.
Have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
With De Niro? It's back when De Niro was still funny before he became comedy De Niro.
Ah.
You know, before like Meet the Parents stuff, it was just De Niro was kind of in that transition.
He's kind of like a joke about
himself. And I watched last week and I was reminded of how awful, truly awful, Al Pacino is in Heat. Did you realize that when you watched Heat recently?
No.
He's so bad. You haven't. Do you remember how bad he was?
Oh yeah, that's when he was starting to get big.
Right.
He was all too big with all his. Yeah.
There's a scene. Literally, he's talking to the guy. Goes, black guy goes, you know, man, I could get killed for telling you that stuff, man. He goes, you could get killed walking your doggy.
Yeah. Just like, he overdid his Pacino.
Is he doing the Ed Sullivan shoulders?
You could get killed walking your doggy. Chewing the gum. That's, you know, he's talking to the like, hey Al, could you turn on the gum? This is my device here. Al Pacino. It was great in Serpico.
Glengarry Glen Ross. He was big, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, you know, Jack Lemmon just acted circles around him in that film.
Oh, yeah.
That was great all the way around, though, for me. Love
yeah.
It.
Yeah, what a great
love
flick.
It. Yeah.
It really is as good as we're going to have David Mamet on the show soon. I would say, if you have to pick someone overall, if you look at the span of the career, probably the greatest actor ever, you'd have to put Jack Lemmon in there.
I go with Larry Storch from F Troop.
Used to be a Spacey fan, but not anymore.
Seriously, though, Jack Lemmon, think of you go back to Some Like It Hot. Right, you go back to early Jack Lemmon, and he was just as good at that as he was in Glenn Ross, Breaking Your Heart.
Yeah, he did.
You know put him ahead of John Ritter. I mean, those
like John burial
ground.
Oh, no, he was hilarious in Three's Company.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Turning to the midterm elections, because we have Ted Cruz coming up, everybody. Ted Cruz very soon. He's going to be thrilled to be here.
Oh, yes.
Ben of Ben & Jerry needs names for flavors for the 7 up-and-coming progressive candidates. This is from his Twitter. Yo, Internet, so you know he's hip.
Yep.
We need your help to come up with 7 amazing flavors for 7 amazing up-and-coming progressives who could be headed to Congress in November. So, of course, Ben is a noted Bernie Sanders supporter, and with the recent rise of Democratic Socialists to the pop culture, we actually have a list of their top suggestions so far, which brings us to this week's 7 Plus 1.
You forgot the one in the chamber!
They always forget the one in the chamber.
Important.
So, now, Nick, are you going to, you want to help us out here? Are you going to be able to read any of these, or do you need to put on the spectacles?
I can read them. This is just the perfect distance.
Good. So top Ben & Jerry's progressive flavors that they actually, you know, been taking the polls and he's been appearing there.
Yeah.
Number 7, Venezuelan breadline pudding. Now, that's right up there. They're going to be happy about that. Number 6, starvation genocide gelato.
Oh.
No. I don't think that'd be the first one that I would go for. Let's have Nick give us number 5.
Alexandria Ocasio, it should say Cortez. Conatez?
Conatez.
Oh, come on. Come on.
That's the dad joke. That's why I wanted it to get. Because usually Owen would be
doing that. Conatez. All right.
Look, see.
Yeah. I like it with nuts. Listen. But reading that, I should have looked at the stuff before, like you said. That reads Conatez. I'm so, you know it's a very Hispanic guy.
All right. Well, let's make it up to you. You can read number 4.
Final Solution Sherbet.
Dare you? That's not. On
oh
the
my goodness!
Number 3, kind of a string a little bit. Single parent pecan.
You did that on purpose.
I did.
You maybe rat bastard.
Because you think I'm this nice sort of gee shucks Canadian, and you come in and break my balls, and then now I have you
break your
final
balls.
Solution.
I haven't even touched you today.
Number 2, you want to give us number 2 there, Nick?
Strawberry killing fields forever.
Perfect.
Sprachen Sie Deutsch, draußen.
Well, that brings us to number 1, actually, the number 1 flavor thus far is Zyklon B Mint. That's pretty popular.
Oh,
and the plus 1, because it's kind of unrelated, the plus 1 finally in the 7 plus 1 top Ben & Jerry's flavors, Cherry Garcia or else. All flavors sold at a 300,000% inflation rate. That's 7 plus 1, everybody.
You forgot the fan in the chamber.
It was one confusing word.
Yes, there was.
Because when you read it, you're thinking Cortez.
Yeah.
Not cone.
Exactly right.
That's what just happened on there.
That's exactly right. That, and I dropped out in eighth grade.
I'm glad we went back over that.
Folks, how are you?
Finally, another story before we have to get to this TCU follow-up. We'll be talking about the TCU follow-up in our recent Change My Mind and the mental counseling required thereafter, along with a rebuttal to Vox. Before that, these academics submitted a hoax paper about dog rape just to prove that it would be published in a peer-reviewed journal. And it was published in a peer-reviewed journal. So here's a clip from the people who actually got it in. We'll show you a clip first to give you some context.
Dear Dr. Helen Wilson,
this is all right.
I have now closely considered the revisions of your manuscript, Dog Park, and will recommend its publication in Gender, Place, and Culture. You have done very good work to address the issues the reviewers raised and have clarified your arguments. Thank you for your contribution to Gender, Place, and Culture, and I hope to be seeing your manuscript in print. Yours truly, PhD Managing Editor.
People think that's real.
It's real.
It actually got published. And we always wondered this, the peer-reviewed journals.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first one that they've gotten published, too.
No,
there's
it's
like
not.
Six or seven other
multiple
ones.
Yeah. They're all very silly.
Yeah.
Almost as silly as Cohn-Tez. At first, the story seems completely unbelievable until you realize how actually low the standards are of what counts as evidence in 2018. I think particularly in recent weeks, like the latest smear against Kavanaugh used by, more recently, the most recent one. Have you heard the recent one?
Oh, yeah.
The one used by CNN has used this as evidence. Oh. Yeah. From her lips to Lady Justice's ears.
Oh my gosh.
The longest 4 minutes of Nick DiPaolo's life.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I really am glad.
I nodded off once. Big
I really
deal.
Am glad that Nick is here.
He roused, don't worry.
Please, nickdip.com. And two people who, if I were to still really, really want to go, you know what? I've never actually seen you live in the last.
Well, don't ruin your image of me. Stay home.
Would be Nick and Norm MacDonald, if you could see two people.
By the way, my favorite comic.
Is he really your favorite comic?
I love him.
There you go. All right. By the way, if you're subscribed, hit the notification bell because subscriptions don't mean anything apparently on YouTube anymore. Join Mug Clubs where you get the daily show, $49 annually, 69 students, veterans, active military, or follow on iTunes, Instagram, Lotto with Crowder, and it'll be a good time.
You're
so
everywhere.
We did the Change My Mind at TCU this Monday.
Yeah.
And it was one of the biggest ones that we have ever done. And we're very grateful, except immediately afterward, the reaction on Twitter was no somewhat points. Predictable.
Yeah.
And let's just read some of the reactions here that you see from TCU. For those who didn't see the video, we sat down. Rape culture is a myth. Change my mind. That's pretty basic stuff. Yeah. Not rape is a myth.
Yeah.
Rape culture is a myth. The idea that a society encourages, perpetuates, or tolerates rape. And anyone who was willing to sit down could change my mind.
In a public space.
In a public space.
By the way.
TCU officially reacted on Twitter. So here's one tweet this is from TCU, Nick. Today, Steven Crowder chose to challenge our students on a public sidewalk in front of the university. While the Constitution gives him the right to express his views, the sentiments he expressed do not align with TCU's values. Let me ask you this question. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're asking a legitimate question.
Yes. Well, actually, even making a statement, here's something, let me go one step further.
Okay.
Rape culture is a myth, changed my mind. Where I'm saying we don't live in a rape culture, particularly on campus.
Right, prove me wrong.
We disagree with Steven's views.
Right.
So what's the culture on the TCU campus?
Apparently rape culture.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just the words rape culture.
Yeah.
Just, you get, that's it. You're guilty. You're
well, I think
part of the problem.
Well, I think TCU has a rape culture. If they're disagreeing with me, they're saying, we disagree yeah. when Steven says there's no, when Steven says there's no rape culture on TCU.
We disagree.
We disavow that point of view. All right, TCU, be my guest. They wrote, here's another tweet from him. His views adversely affected many members of our campus community.
Aww.
The health and safety of the Horned Frog family is of the utmost importance, and we encourage individuals to contact campus resources for support. Then another tweet from him. In support of survivors of sexual assault at TCU, SGA set up in front of the founder statue today to promote the It's On Us campaign. Is TCU does not follow Steven Crowder on Twitter.
I'm really glad they made a point to say that. Because there was doubt.
A university feels that they now this is a public sidewalk. We do not follow Steven Crowder on Twitter.
Boom.
Our mission is to foster academic, social, and personal development for all members of the campus community, whether in race, class, ethnic, gender, sexual orientation, ability, or veteran status. What does that have to do with anything at this point?
I think that's the first time I've ever heard veteran status used like that. Like it's a complaining group of people that are going to express a differing point of view than other normal people in the world.
In this case, they mean veterans of house parties.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Especially with Kavanaugh.
Anyone who's played a game of grab-off.
Apparently their job is to create an academic social environment so that people can learn, unless you have a different point of view.
Right. Yeah.
A legitimate different point of view, and you're not out there saying, rape is cool and holding up signs. You're saying, hey guys, let's have a conversation about rape culture. What do you think? And they're like, oh my gosh!
Well, the girl just started freaking out.
Yeah.
The girl started freaking out when she realized that she had no argument.
They're freaking out at the words, let's have a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where they start freaking.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to get to the end of it.
No, you don't have to get to the end of it at all. What happened is if you go watch this video, and Nick's very busy, so I know he hasn't seen the video. She starts talking about Brett Kavanaugh, and I go, I don't, who? She goes, oh my God, you don't know who Brett Kavanaugh is. You know who Brett Kavanaugh is.
Another lefty with a great sense of humor.
Then she goes,
those broads, I'll tell you.
I said, who's Christine Ford? And she starts screaming at me. And so then finally I go, okay, can I speak now? I said, well, listen, if we're talking about Dr. Christine Ford and her allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, I start going bing, bing, uh-oh, bing, bing. And she just goes, okay, well, so maybe you know these things. Officers, can we have him released from campus? And she literally just starts screaming at the cops.
Yeah.
The second, you can see the moment in her eyes, the second she realizes that she wasn't entirely correct. Here's what's funny. There's a letter to the students and faculty from someone named Catherine Tull.
Oh, Katie Tull.
On a first name basis, sorry. Very familiar.
That's because you were accidentally taken to the Katie Tull Center by your Uber driver earlier today.
Exactly, yeah.
TCU's vice chancellor, I guess, for student affairs, she sent this out, an email, a letter. Maybe it was rubber stamp. I have no idea. It could have been wax stamped at this point. Yeah. Who knows what a gesture of grandeur. She wrote, yesterday was an interesting and difficult day for our campus community. Many watched and some participated as Steven Crowder, self-proclaimed conservative political commentator, actor, and comedian, engaged passerby.
Passersby.
Who are these people? I don't know. Apparently she didn't make the Dickens play cut. In the filming of his podcast, Mr. Crowder makes his living by posing a divisive statement to a group off in Colorado. His method of operation is to garner a reaction from students, which he in turn makes fun of while filming for his show. Here are a couple of facts about yesterday's event.
Oh, my God.
You don't make fun of them.
Jesus.
That's a lie.
We're at the fourth. This is the letter after four tweets in. It gets better.
They're treating you like you're Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, exactly. Number one, TCU did not host, nor did any group host Mr. Crowder.
Ooh.
I can confirm. Number two, he positioned himself on a public sidewalk, on a public street.
Yep.
Hey, C point number one. Number three, his language and ideas, while offensive, are protected by the United States Constitution. This needed further explanation.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you effing imagine?
I can absolutely.
Oh, nice job.
These motherless.
Oops, I spoke too soon.
Oops. Sorry.
But what's offensive about saying there's no rape culture? TCU is saying they have a rape. That's the only thing they could be mad about.
Well, they do. Have you seen the football team on a Saturday night?
I haven't. Oh, you read something before that, though, Nick.
I'm just saying. The team's very diverse. I'm not.
Yes, okay.
There's a lot of white defensive backs I was pointing out in the state.
Yes.
How dare you?
I can do the Connecticut catwalk. There was a reaction from Fort Worth Weekly. Steven Crowder's a rape culture apologist. This all happened within one day, keep in mind, of the video. Here's another reaction. Conversations without consent was another article. Steven Crowder's discussion of rape culture on TCU's sidewalk. It's not even their sidewalk. Do they not understand? Socialists have no concept of personal property.
No.
Or public property. What do you think? It's not your sidewalk. I would prefer that's my sidewalk. We don't give a rat's ass, Bernie. It's not your sidewalk. Disagree. What do you think is happening here? It's irresponsible to subject the public to this kind of highly sensitive topic without their consent. So this is how we get into it, right? Consent. I sat down with a sign. You see the logic here. It is you can't put that sign up there expressing an opinion without consent. You don't. They don't understand consent. You don't have to consent to my opinion.
Mm-mm.
Just like it doesn't mean it's a refusal of your consent if someone says, hey, gorgeous, and you say, don't call me gorgeous. That's not rape.
No, doesn't count. And the sign's not that big.
No, it's a pretty small sign.
It's not like
I'm not
going to
lie. It's a pretty sizable sign. This was my favorite tweet. Was actually someone suggested they just buy the sidewalk.
That'd be hilarious.
How much money would it take for alumni like myself to privatize the sidewalk? All of a sudden, they're big fans of privatization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So scumbags like Steven Crowder can't use our university as a backdrop for bigotry. Nick, when's the last time you performed at a college?
This girl, we're in bunk beds. she's about 5'10", 260, Lewiston, Maine.
This is the puppetry of the penis tour.
I performed horribly. That's a good question. I'd say 4 years ago, I did like a college in Connecticut, not even 3 years ago, in Connecticut. If I'd say the name, you'd know what it was. And it was
the University of Connecticut?
Was it in Hartford?
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, no. Couldn't resist.
No, I forget.
Oh,
no,
man.
I want to say Trinity or something.
And then afterwards, you just said no more?
No, that was actually decent.
Really?
Yeah. I stopped doing colleges 4 years into my career, which was 1991. I was booked at the University at Clark University in Massachusetts, which is even a liberal school for Massachusetts.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I made some crack about a Middle Eastern guy trying to find my dipstick and oil or whatever.
Yeah,
and
as one does.
And some kid goes, oh, my God, like a guy. 1992. He goes, what are you going to talk about rape next? And so I ripped off like 11 rape jokes off the top of my head.
Of course.
And I actually had to leave. One of the only shows in my 30 years I actually didn't get off stage about 12 minutes early.
Really?
Get out of here.
Did they actually force you to leave?
They were booing and hissing, and they wouldn't let me get word. I mean, I wish I had this. I was like ahead of the curve. It's what's going on now in restaurants with Ted Cruz and stuff. Yes. They were doing that to me at the University, Clark University.
How did you become more right-leaning since you're from Massachusetts, right? Raised that way. Were you raised? I mean, it's you think of it as just a solid blue always everywhere.
I was molested by a guy at a pickup truck from South Carolina.
Well, that stands to reason.
I'm more of a traditionalist. I mean, I'm just a working class. Boston wasn't that, Massachusetts wasn't that liberal when I was a kid. I mean,
it was just Kennedy Nation.
It was Kennedy Nation, but then you saw clips of white kids throwing rocks at buses, and then everybody got confused. I don't know. That's a good question, but because I don't think the ideology left or right. It's more about logic, common sense.
It is,
yeah.
And if you follow that through your life, you'll end up.
Yeah,
towards more the towards right. the right.
You'll end up like myself or everyone in this room. So
yeah.
You got that to look forward to. Feel good about your life choices. So we're gonna do a rebuttal to this. Did you ever watch Vox? Probably not. Probably not a big watcher of Vox.
Vox
not.
News. I love that. Shannon Bream. Oh, I'll tell you.
The reason we're going to rebut this video here is not just because of the play count, but it's so emblematic, I think, of how, like you just said, how the left argues, particularly in 2018. The first major problem with this video, it's about sexual assault, and it's actually about why Kavanaugh accusers can't remember.
Yeah.
And not only why they can't remember, but why they shouldn't be expected to remember any details.
Mm. Yeah.
So we'll get into why this is just like the kid said in the Change My Mind, our views are so nuanced, we couldn't possibly be expected to articulate them effectively.
What?
So
doesn't make any sense.
The first major problem with this video is it assumes that the assaults happened and then works from that premise, beginning with going back to Clarence Thomas.
He spoke about acts that he had seen in pornographic films involving such matters as women having sex with animals and films showing group sex or rape scenes.
This is a clip from the 1991 hearing of Anita Hill,
isn't it
the law professor who accused
a black,
then Supreme
straight
Court
black woman followed by a gay Latino male.
Harassing her while working.
It's a very odd contrast.
Over the course of 3 days, Hill was bombarded with questions meant to highlight inconsistencies in her story.
You have added during the course of your testimony today two new witnesses. When you talked to the FBI, there was one witness.
The witness did not say anything to the FBI about the described size of his penis.
The goal of these questions wasn't to prove
that is uncomfortable here for an old white guy.
It was to prove that Hill's memory was faulty.
how reliable is your testimony on events that occurred 8-10 years ago? How sure can you expect this committee to be on the accuracy of your statements?
Soon enough, senators were suggesting that Hill might be imagining things.
It's funny they play it with like the horror film background. Yeah. So all of us are watching this going, can you believe they asked her how she knew it was accurate? I am watching this going, yeah, that seems about
reasonable.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Can we be sure that what she remembered is correct?
That happened to me when I showed up in court for a speeding ticket that I contested.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know how fast you were going? And it almost tripped me up for a second. I'm like, whoa. Because I have a speed tailing device in my car.
Speed telling.
But it took me a little bit of time to figure it out. That's what they'll do.
A what device?
A speed telling.
Device.
Then they go on to say this here at Vox.
20 years later, history is repeating itself.
Well, hold on.
I can tell by your shirt. Jack ass.
I guess history is repeating itself in the sense that what the allegations against Thomas were a completely baseless smear campaign. He was confirmed, yeah. And it's pretty well known that Anita Hill was lying. Am I the only one who actually, when I finally found out about the Clarence Thomas thing, it was who put this pubic hair in the Diet Coke can? I'm like, he sounds great. I want to party with Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
Wouldn't you want a clerk for him?
Absolutely.
I mean,
I put a pube on a birthday cake once.
Less
nobody
well
said
received.
Boo. I thought it was very funny. Did you see Christine Ford drinking the Coke? I was hoping somebody was going to drop it. I need some caffeine. Well, here's a quart of Coke with a pube on it. Enjoy.
Just Lindsey Graham's fingers like the Grinch taking candy canes coming in off frame, just dangling it.
He was great with it.
He was great. Yeah, Golden Graham really, all of a sudden he grew a set. I think there's another clip here from Gay Latino at Vox.
This fixation on how well a victim can remember exactly what happened to them, it's bullshit. And experts say it's getting in the way of us taking credible sexual assault allegations seriously.
Okay, here's the point. Actually, what they found out was that Ford has zero case.
Yeah.
Okay.
None.
So Rachel Mitchell, the really basic white girl name, easy to forget, she wrote, in the legal context, here's my bottom line. A he said, she said case is incredibly difficult to prove, but this case is even weaker than Dr. Ford identified than that, because Dr. Ford identified other witnesses to the event. Those witnesses either refuted her allegations or failed to corroborate them. For the reasons discussed below, I do not think that a reasonable prosecutor would bring this case based on the evidence before a committee, nor do I believe that this evidence is sufficient to satisfy the preponderance of the evidence standard. This, by the way, would be you know how OJ was not guilty in criminal, but guilty in civil? This is the civil trial standard.
Yeah.
People who don't know, preponderance of evidence just means to go forward with a trial just means it has to be more likely that it happened than not happened.
Yeah. Right.
She's saying that isn't even being met here.
Yeah, and really, the big thing for me is that it's more about the system that we have instead of the person, right? It's not about Kavanaugh and it's not about her. It's about this system that we have that says you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't tell me that we just have to take any witnesses for any crime, their testimony alone, with no evidence whatsoever. Especially, like you just said, where there's three people that could corroborate, didn't.
Sure I can tell you that. I'm the vice president at TCU. Next clip.
Ford admits that she can't remember some important details, like the exact date of the party, whose house it was at, or how she got there. Notes taken by Ford's therapist in 2012 also state four boys were in the room during the time of the assault. But Ford says there were two, and says the discrepancy was due to an error on the therapist's part. Those gaps and inconsistencies have triggered a barrage of speculation about whether Ford's memory can actually be trusted.
Kind of key details, wouldn't you say?
Who is that, David Cross? That was
David Cross with Biden plugs. He saw the same guy. Here's what's important is her details only changed after they were challenged. This is something nobody talks about. They say, well, she couldn't remember the exact date. It'd be one thing if she said, I don't remember exactly which day it happened or which day of the week. She couldn't remember the year.
Yeah.
Let alone
that's a big thing.
The where or who. But here's something else. She only changed when she said, "Was it this kind of floor plan? This is where it happened." And I remember the hallway was small. Then it became a hall, and it was a narrow hallway. Yeah. Then it became we were in a living room. So the floor plan changed once they said, "Okay, we can narrow it down to these places and look at the floor plans." Maybe it wasn't that floor plan. It was the location changed until, well, hold on a second. If you're checking me up, maybe it wasn't the location. The witnesses changed once they said, well, we asked the witnesses, and they went, well, hold on, maybe it wasn't those witnesses. That's what's important. It's not that it changed as she started, things were hazy and it came back to her. It changed when she got caught lying or providing incorrect information.
Yeah.
How about the fact she flew more miles than the Rolling Stones did in the 60s? I don't like planes. What are you kidding me? She spent 3 minutes on the ground.
Goes up, she's like Charles Grodin in Midnight Run.
Unbelievable.
It was a sham.
Lying!
Don't worry. We already got in trouble for that one. Let's go.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I did last week.
I don't want to offend Dr. Ford.
Christy!
Doctor.
Dr. Christy! Next clip.
You can see this focus on memory, especially on Fox News.
This is nothing. She's not sure when it happened, where it happened.
The alleged victim does not know the address, the date, the owner of the house. Why?
Why is this? Is this because Fox said it? We're not supposed to care. They're reporting facts.
Yeah.
It's kind of their job. These things are true.
Well, the problem I have with it is that nobody else is reporting it. That's the highlight there. No one else is talking about it.
People
only Fox.
At TCU were going, she had three witnesses. I was like, no, she didn't.
No.
I guess she didn't see the Rachel Maddow show the other night, fellas. I thought she had some good points.
There was nobody.
One of them right here in her neck. If you can't hear that on the internet, you guys can kiss my grits.
Oh, no.
How's that for...
It's perfect.
How's that for strong? You can kiss my grits.
There you go.
You can kiss my grits. And I love how you put your hand on your knee.
It's very like southern of you.
I'm trying to. Anyways, like any more bourbon in the house? I know, I'm sitting like Lindsey Graham at home. Listen, who's seen the poodle? Anybody?
Next clip. Clip F.
We have this expectation that for an allegation to be credible, the victim has to be able to recall exactly what happened to them in detail. Most of us think memory works like a video camera, accurately recording events we see and hear so that we can review them later. So if a victim can't remember certain details, we view them as suspicious.
Jeez.
Okay. We don't want every single detail. How about two? How about one? How about half? Can we get half a detail? Well, is that reasonable? Half a detail?
Well, there was a house and there was a staircase. And I know there was a toilet in the house. And
there must have been.
Wait, hold on a second. Ms. Ford, are you just telling a campfire story? There was a very dark house and a staircase. That's a campfire story. I was raped! All right.
I remember some giggling.
These are
yeah, that was
points.
You.
Yeah.
Half a detail. It's just so funny. They act as though just because she can't remember everything. No, she can remember nothing.
Yeah.
If someone says, hey, what did you have for lunch today? And I go, you know, I think I had the,
Guilty.
You don't tell anyone that you know what I had for lunch that day. You just move on. You go, well, I guess we'll never know. Next clip.
If people are expecting that a victim should be able to just replay a video and describe it the same every time, that's not how the brain works. And that's not how the brain works for any kind of trauma, not just sexual assault.
In other words, we're holding trauma survivors to a standard that most of them won't be able to meet. And when they fail that standard, when they forget something or contradict themselves, the punishment is brutal.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh.
The same guy just spent 6 minutes making the case that these victims' memory is unreliable. Am I getting this right now? Let's rewind the clip really quickly.
A Washington Post columnist even suggested that Ford might have Kavanaugh confused with a lookalike, asking, is there a Kavanaugh doppelganger?
Oh, what? Good.
What? What have you been saying, Nick? Yeah.
Rich Little. Rich Little.
What did he?
I couldn't think of anybody.
Oh, I thought he was saying Rich Little raped you while doing his Nixon impression from 1978.
Jeez. I couldn't think of a modern day Rich Little.
Was that going anywhere? I just wanted to say Rich Little. Oh,
no, you can scratch that. Leave the F bomb.
No, we're gonna keep that.
I didn't even know where I was going with that one.
Rich Little.
Oh my gosh.
I remember, I'm
working on 2 hours sleep.
I got bumped from a comedy tour for Rich Little. One point. Yeah, I remember.
You did?
What?
Oh my gosh. I got bumped on my Tonight Show spot from Elton John.
Well,
and I didn't even get to meet him.
You didn't get to meet
him? He signed an album for me, but I couldn't even go up and see him.
I didn't really want to meet Rich Little.
Yeah.
I wasn't eager to meet him, but yeah, they were like, yeah, you're getting bumped for the guy, and he just shows up, hey, have you guys heard my Reagan? I'm like, oh my God, this is like in 2007.
Oh,
when did he die? Whenever
it was before then.
Oh,
right?
Rich Little?
No, he's still alive.
Still alive.
I'm in his career.
He's doing an impression of a dead guy.
A very good one.
He's his own ventriloquist dummy. Shut up. Senior Little. Let me just make sure I have this right. You just did an entire video, Vox, about rape victims and how they can't keep major details straight. And then you're rolling your eyes about the mere idea, the mere concept that she might have mistaken her accuser. Again, this is the point of this is presenting an argument in a way where it cannot actually face any kind of logical scrutiny. Because you go, well, hold on a second. Actually, her accounts are completely inconsistent. And they go, well, that's entirely consistent with what might happen with a rape survivor. You go, hold on a second. She actually made these claims when we checked them out. It turns out that she, and they go, well, she can't be expected to know what she's saying. Well, how do we check this? I just think that if she says something, you should take her at face value. And we should be free to declare him guilty.
Yeah. Hashtag believe all women. By the way, I think it's hilarious that they put her up there with Anita Hill on that, because it's been proven, like you said earlier, that she was lying. So are you saying by putting her up there next to that picture that she's also lying?
Yes. So these are the same theory you're saying?
This is really bad reporting all the way around.
Which De Niro film was it where he says, lie a whore, and you know it?
That is from This Boy's Life.
There you go.
Nice.
I said it so you didn't have to.
There you go.
Next clip.
None of this is to say that we shouldn't question or investigate allegations of sexual assault. An investigation is exactly what Kavanaugh's accusers are asking for. But as long as we expect trauma victims to have crystal clear memories of what happened, we're going to keep finding reasons to doubt them, regardless of how credible their allegations are.
No, okay, I'm sorry.
Think about that logic.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, gay Latino Vox guy. The video's already dated. A few days ago, they wanted an investigation. Now they're calling it a sham,
of course,
saying that the investigation would shield Kavanaugh. This is how inconsistent the left is. Their arguments become dated by the hour. Hours? Every single person in this room. Isn't it the same as when it started? Is your argument the same?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Same. Yours? Uh-huh. Quarter
not
black?
At all.
It's at least three quarters the same?
It is exactly the same.
We're saying due process. That's it. Innocent until proven guilty. Are we just going to forget, by the way, that Feinstein sat in a letter for a month not asking for an investigation while the hearings went on? They don't want an investigation. They want a circus. And this is why we wanted to rebut this video. We have Senator Ted Cruz coming up after the break. It's emblematic of how the left argues. It's not just about the guilty until proven innocent. It's that they couldn't possibly be burdened to prove their argument. First, they want everything based on the survivor's memory instead of the evidence. Then if we question the survivor's memories to get the truth, they say that memory can't be relied upon. And then it's like this change my mind, said boy, in the jogger. Remember the guy who was a jogger?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm a jogger, I'm sure you can tell. What are you talking about? How could I possibly tell that you're a jogger? That's the kind of left that's...
Get my legs.
They see their views as so nuanced and gray. And I don't even know if they see their views as nuanced and gray. They present them to be so nuanced and so gray that they couldn't possibly be expected to articulate them to you, the masses, properly. Things like innocent until proven guilty. No, my view is different from yours. Really, what's your view? Well, it's nuanced. Things like evidence. Well, what kind of evidence is presented? I don't believe in evidence. Well, what do you think needs to be presented? It's nuanced. Things like corroborating witnesses. Well, hold on. She said three, and they directly refuted her story. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, okay. Tell me what it is that you believe. It's a little too nuanced. I couldn't possibly be burdened with articulating them to you. Or in this case, prove them. Hey, there's an idea. All right. Up next, we have Senator Ted Cruz. This is nickdip.com. Go see him when he's performing in your area.
Podcast, please sign up. Patreon.com.
Sign up. No. Yeah. Nick Dip. Go test.
This here is Todd. It's too late for him. He'll be hanged from the gallows for sure. But you can prevent future Toms from facing a similar fate by joining at louderwithcrowder.com/muckclub. Join today at louderwithcrowder.com/muckclub, unless you want more innocent black men to die.
All right, very glad to have our next guest. I just look at just banging the microphone right off the bat. Horrible start. At Ted Cruz. That's the right one, right? There's so many Ted Cruzes that seem official on the Twitter. There's at Senator Ted Cruz, at Sen Ted Cruz, but it's just Ted Cruz.
At Ted Cruz is the main one. That's the political one. At Sen Ted Cruz is official, but at Ted Cruz.
Why don't you just have like the people who take up all the other titles, have a couple of calls made. I would imagine, it causes you some problems, like at Sen Ted Cruz-ish. Get rid of them.
Look, there are all sorts of crazy things on Twitter. The nuts thing is I read all the bad things on Twitter.
Why?
I don't know, because it gives you a sense of what's going on. Heidi thinks it's just that I'm a masochist. But like
I was going to say that, yeah.
Every time someone, every nasty insult. So for every lefty out there, let me see, if you actually have something clever and funny,
yeah,
I'll like read it to the team. Like if someone's like, F you, it's like, okay, well, that's very special. But,
right.
A
good insult that stings is really funny.
Those are hysterical. By the way, I've got to say, I saw a show you did recently of this lefty who said he wanted a piece of you.
That's a lot of them. You're going to have to narrow it down.
You dressed as a genie and hunted him down.
I didn't hunt. Let's be careful with the language
because
they're going to blame me for creating a map. No, I dressed as a genie and granted his wish.
It was hysterical. I was doubled over. I was driving somewhere in Texas watching it on my phone and doubled over laughing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But back to the insults. It's true. One was, I think QB Garrett knows, someone insulted me one time, said something like, this is about as terrible as that zit that Crowder tried to clearly cover up. And it was true. I had it and I was like, oh man, that's a beautiful burn. It stings. It's worth it. And we repost them. But if it's just vulgar and angry, angry. Yeah. It's not really fun. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that you can appreciate it. A lot of people get to see the sense of humor this side of Ted Cruz. So speaking of which, obviously this is a race right now. Yeah. Obviously for people who don't know, there's, you know, Senate it's important in our government. I would advise they go check out Schoolhouse Rock. Let me ask you this: why is it even being discussed as though it's within striking distance with this O'Rourke character?
Well, it's a crazy time. The hard left, they're really angry. They're filled with rage. They're filled with hatred for President Trump.
Sure.
And we're seeing that spill out everywhere you look. I mean, we're seeing it, this past week, Heidi and I were confronted by screaming protesters having dinner in Washington. And right. They basically shut the restaurant down by screaming and yelling and surrounding us. And we see that kind of nastiness just growing and growing and growing. Well, that kind of energy, it's politically dangerous, because mm-hmm. what it means is tens of millions of dollars are flooding into the state of Texas. That if you're on the far left and you can defeat one Republican in the country who's on the ballot, it'd be me.
Yes.
And so they're flooding the state with cash.
Well, if your goal is to defeat an actual consistent conservative Republican, they would be going after you. And that's what bothers me about this so much. And I don't really think it's nearly as close as the media is trying to cover it, but you're not going to get a prime spot on Ellen the same way. It's amazing that these people who would never pay attention to this race are putting all of this momentum behind a guy just to put him within, how close do you really think this is? Do you think it's an example of Trump where it won't even be close?
Well, look,
the polls.
Texas has been trending more purple. So when I ran in 2012, right. I won the state by 16 points.
Right.
In 2016, Trump won by just over 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same margin he had in Ohio. So nobody thinks of Ohio as bright red, unshakably Republican. I think that's true of Texas, too, that we got 28 million people. We have a ton of liberals. We have a good 10 million liberals in the state of Texas. Now, conservatives outnumber them, but, go down to Austin and Travis County is filled with as left-wing people as you'll find anywhere. And there are a lot of them. And right now, anger is a dangerous motivator.
Right.
If you think about it on the right in 2010, President Obama had been elected. He jammed through Obamacare. He jammed through Dodd-Frank. And a whole lot of folks, a whole lot of conservatives and libertarians were ticked off. He was doing a lot of damage to the country.
Sure.
And we saw a tidal wave election in 2010. I think we won something like 70 seats in the House.
It was big.
That kind of energy is dangerous, in part because it unifies you. So folks on the left, they may disagree on all sorts of things. Are you a full-on socialist or a communist? I mean, they're having those kind of arguments.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or Marxist. And I think the only difference at that point is a beard. Or the length thereof, yes.
Look, as a Cuban, I'm not going to knock anyone for having a beard. But,
right.
But look, the anger lets them all be unified. They can all agree they hate Donald Trump.
Right.
And so that keeps them together. The danger on the right, if you look at the center-right coalition, you've got conservatives, libertarians, independents, is 1% or 2% are miffed about one thing, and 1% or 2% are miffed about something else.
Right.
And we may not be unified. Now, I do think these Kavanaugh hearings may be changing.
I was going to ask, do you think that changes the whole landscape here? Really, in the last, I would say the last week, because when it started out, it was hashtag Me Too, riding it off that wave. And now with the inconsistencies, I see a lot of people going, you know what? They might be re-rolling this guy. To give you an idea, Clarence Thomas, that incident is what made Andrew Breitbart a conservative. He tuned in. He said, I tuned in to watch this guy get his. And I finished watching it saying, oh, my God, this is a modern day lynching. This was Andrew Breitbart who said this.
Wow. Well, look, I think last week was a circus that was new lows for Washington.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a real difference between how the two parties handled it. Once the allegations broke, I thought it was important that we give Dr. Ford an opportunity to tell her story, that it be fair and that she be treated with respect.
Sure.
And I think that's what the committee did. I think she had an opportunity to tell her story, and she was treated with respect. I also thought it was critical that Judge Kavanaugh be given an opportunity to defend himself and that he be treated with respect, and that didn't happen.
Right.
The Senate Democrats, they were so consumed with partisan politics. They were so consumed with just nastiness that they were willing to smear this guy, to smear him, his family, to just... And the hearing became a circus. I mean, it was one after the other of theatrics. Watching Democrats in high dungeon that, good God, teenagers in high school drink beer.
I know.
It was shocking.
By the way, I know you obviously, but sometimes I have a beer on weekdays. Not a rapist, by the way.
It
in case there was any doubt.
And do you have a high school yearbook?
I keep it hidden. Yeah.
Look,
really bad.
Find me someone who, as a teenager, didn't say something stupid in their yearbook. That's part of being a teenager.
Right.
And to see this inquisition on, well, what does Beach Ralph Club mean?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever, like,
yeah, I've never, like,
been to the beach with a bunch of high school kids? It's not complicated to figure out.
Well, I don't know. I can't figure it out because I never touched a drop because I was in Canada and it was a rampant culture of alcoholism. This is actually true, though. I didn't drink at all until later in life. Watch, I'll be cross-examined for this because in Canada, people drink so young that I had friends who had serious problems with it. And then after college, very much enjoyed craft beer once I learned it wasn't all Molson Dry. let me ask you this at this point, too. Every allegation was treated just as legitimate as the first one. Yeah. Do you think that's kind of what ended up being the nail in the coffin for Democrats? Okay, Christine Ford is what started. Right. Then it was, Mr. Kavanaugh, are you a gang rapist? I mean, that was, and it was so clearly, I don't want to say fraudulent, but there was no evidence whatsoever that they reached too far.
Now, look, I think that's right. I think a lot of the American people looked at that, and it was obviously political theatrics.
Right.
I mean, I think we had an obligation to listen to the testimony and assess it fairly. That's what I was trying to do.
Sure.
And that's why I wanted to hear from both of the witnesses. And at the end of the day, I thought both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh that they gave powerful testimony. They gave personal and moving testimony. Our job then is to assess what to do because their testimony conflicts.
Right.
And in a court of law, typically when you've got conflicting testimony, the way you resolve that is you look to, all right, what's the corroborating evidence? What does the other evidence demonstrate in terms of which story is accurate?
Mm-hmm.
In this instance, Dr. Ford identified three fact witnesses. All three gave statements to the Judiciary Committee under penalty of perjury. So if they were lying, they faced 5 years in prison.
Right.
And all three, not only did they not corroborate the allegations, but they explicitly refuted them. They said, this isn't true.
Yeah.
That, for me, was compelling. That's why I voted yes. We didn't see any of the Democrats assessing any of the evidence. We didn't see any of them weighing. We didn't see any of them seemingly concerned with what was true. They were on a search and destroy
mission. I saw Cory Booker asking Brett Kavanaugh if he ever drinks on weekdays. And I will tell you, people who see this will go, okay, all right, this is where I get off the train. Let me ask you this. How do you think this relates, finally, I know you're busy and you have to get to the airport, to this election? I watched the debates.
Yeah.
Obviously, not as many people watched these debates as the presidential debates, but for people who didn't watch it, huge contrast. You were talking about policy. Yeah. How well Texas has done in comparison to further left states. And your opponent would opine, get very emotional, talk about how he's had a DUI and talk about how everyone needs to be given a second chance. Have you noticed that he's doing, obviously not accusing anyone of rape, but it's that similar emotional grandstanding? That's the contrast that I see in this election.
Well, look, there's a lot of pattern on the far left where they try to be, they try to manipulate people with emotion and they avoid facts or logic or reason. If you look at every couple of weeks or every couple of days, rather, we see a media puff piece of Beto O'Rourke and it's all rainbows and puppies.
Right.
It's just, oh, look at his hair. Look at his teeth.
Didn't he get arrested for burglary? Am I mistaken? I know the DUI. I think it's burglary, but arrested. Okay, go ahead. I don't want to put you in harm.
But he's got great hair.
Yes, he does.
And the media is deliberately trying to keep it warm and fuzzy and not focus on substance. That's actually why I thought the debate was important, because substance matters. I think Texans are smart, and our economy is booming. I mean, it is going extremely well.
Not if the Californians would have their way, who keep on moving. I know, you know.
And my approach is, I'm going to ignore the personal attacks. I'm not going to do what the Democrats did in the Kavanaugh hearings and go into the gutter.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep it focused on substance, on issues. And on substance and issues, his position is radical and it's bad for Texas.
It is pretty radically left. I'm glad to hear you say it, because a lot of times people say, well, okay, I think he's pretty radical.
It is typically in a general election, Democrats pretend to run to the middle.
Right.
This guy is running to the left of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And I'll say, you know, you've got a lot of folks watching you who are libertarians.
Yeah.
If you're a libertarian at home, this guy is a big government statist.
Yeah.
He wants the government in charge of everything. He wants full-on socialized medicine, so the government's in charge of your doctor, your health care. He wants government regulation. He's voted in favor of a $10 a barrel tax on every barrel of oil in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Now, our economy, millions of jobs in the state depend on energy, and he's perfectly happy to just hammer it. By the way, that works out for every one of us who drives.
Yeah.
to 24 cents a gallon in taxes that you'd pay on
but,
top of.
But he watched Deepwater Horizon once, so he knows what he's talking about. No, he's to the left of Nina Pinta Santa Maria Cortez. I think that's important to note. Here's what I always say to people. Listen, I know we got to get going. What I always say to people is Texas, no state tax, and a surplus for as many years as I can count. We've got it right. So go forward and vote. It's at Ted Cruz. That's the right one, at Ted Cruz.
At Ted Cruz, and then tedcruz.org is the website. And Freedom Works. That would be my closing words. Look, for young people, why would you want some unelected bureaucrat in Washington running your life? You ought to be free to choose your education, to choose your job, to choose your free speech. The left wants to censor what you say, to control your decisions, to tell you you can only agree with them. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I believe in freedom. And I think that most young people in Texas and across the country do as well.
But he does have good hair. Though your hair actually is looking better. You got a little bit of wave now, a little bit longer. I dig it. That's at Ted Cruz. We will wrap this up after. Thanks so much for being here, Senator. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
A lot.
And really do wish you the best. Hey there, YouTube viewer. Many of you are not yet members of Mug Club at lottowithcutter.com/mugclub. Not only get this wonderful hand-etched mug, and you can do it for 7 days free right now. You get the Daily Show every single day, actually, well, Monday through Thursday, but the rest of the CRTV lineup, including Mark Levin, Roaming Millennial, Gavin McGinnis, and it's $69 annually for students, veterans, or active military. It's what allows us to keep doing this. You know, doing A Change My Mind, doing videos like that, or A Crowder Confronts, or the bigger videos where we go on location or undercover. These things take days and days to carry out, and a lot of people here who depend on Mug Club because, you know, we're not making enough off YouTube anymore. So if you want to support us, if you want to see the show continue, lottowithcutter.com/mugclub. If you can't be bothered to, then, you know, probably won't be around that much longer. Or you can also buy a Walther. If you're planning on buying a fight, they're our main sponsor, too. The studios are sponsored. So Mug Club is, but Walther, Mug Club, same thing. It keeps us going. Just don't give it to Susan Wojcicki.
And now for the adventures of the White Privilege Boy.
All right there now, Timmy. I know you're a teenager, but if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. You can't park your vehicle faced into oncoming traffic. Come on, let's move.
Well, gee, officer. I'm sure sorry. Can I just go back to my car?
No, I want you to follow my instructions. Either get down on the ground or follow me away from the vehicle.
But, officer... Can't I just get my PCP?
Well, you know, usually I'd say no, but you can make it quick. Come on, get on out of here, you white rascal.
Oh, boy, I'm in a freebase.
Oh, those boys. What pickle will they find themselves in next? Stay tuned for next week's installment of Adventures of the White Privilege Boys.
That's called the Riptide with a Penchant for Nipples.
Oh, I was getting swept
dance.
Away. Getting swept away now.
It's very discriminating in its tastes. Why? I don't know why we hold our breath for that. I have no idea.
It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Thank you so much to Senator Ted Cruz, who was there. Hope that he just really cool. beats the ever-loving tar out of O'Rourke. I wonder, spelled Beto. Is it Beta?
I say Beto. It's
Beto. Beto, but we say Beta.
It's not even his name.
Yeah,
it's not even really his name.
But it's just so funny because he's perfectly Beta. I'm amazed that no one's talked about this more. Beta O'Rourke.
It's a signal.
Who's your daddy, O'Rourke? Who's your daddy? By the way, I love Senator Cruz. He's a great guy, but he's very important. So he has a lot of handlers who are always like, wait on a second. You're not going to make like the jokes that you do about like, I'm like, no, don't worry. You know what they're secretly thinking is like, no tranny, no spot the tranny today, right?
Don't do it.
Please don't do it. We saw the Young Turks go after you recently. Oh, Nick DiPaolo's here? Shoot. we have a great week of shows here next week. You know, here's the thing I wanted to talk about, because I definitely do think that this, we always talk about how sort of toxic politics has become and how angry people are. And I want to bring it back to the fact there's nothing wrong with anger. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger. And I certainly think that being falsely labeled a rapist would qualify. But let me take a step back. When you were a kid, You didn't look up to your dad because he was sweet or because he had nice clothes. Your dad was worth the salt because he felt safe, if you had a good dad. Or even more so, I would say that it, certainly like with my dad, it's because he made everyone around him feel safer. So this is actually something I'd like to talk about with the dead, both the deadbeat men out there and the women who tolerate deadbeat men. First, to all the feminists who bitch about toxic masculinity and rape culture, and that's what they're shrieking about today, let me make this really simple. What should you look for in a man? An honest man with a backbone. That's it. You want a man who you're going to reach for when the wolves are at the door. And to the men, we've talked about this a lot, the incels, right? The involuntary celibates, the professionally outraged over alimony and child support payment crowd. Sorry, I'm not on board with you. I understand equality. I understand people being upset with feminists and how far they've reached. But this men's rights crowd that sometimes just goes too far the other way. You know what? You need to learn to be the person that your woman's going to want when wolves are at the door. Now, why is that symbolism so important? We've used this term a lot, wolves at the door. You hear that a lot, right? Why wolves at the door? A few things. One, it's not mean people at the door, meaning you're not one of them. There's a delineation. It's an animal. Two, it's not tigers at the door. It's not water moccasins. Those are really freaky, though. If you see the water snakes and they do with their head up, they terrify me. It's wolves. So, and wolves are pack animals. Very seldom are they dangerous by themselves, but in a pack, they become ruthless, emboldened killers. And that's what you have to protect yourself against. The pack of wolves can come in the form of a pitchfork mob, the trial by public opinion, the gossipers in your church, or the gaggle of so-called friends who betray you when you thought they wouldn't, peer pressure. Hell, it could actually be a gang of rapists. The pack of wolves could be a gang of rapists. But this whole rape witch hunt, it's a throwing away of due process right now. It's indicative of a society with both men and women who don't know what a man is supposed to be. And I know now the feminists are going, no, listen, this is just as much for women as it is for men. It is more important for society right now to know what a man needs to be. And that means not just for himself, but for his woman and for his family. Patriarchy? Okay, let's go with it. Because I know, as a Christian, I'm going to be the one standing before the Lord, accountable for my actions and my house. Maybe you don't believe in it, but okay, it proves to be the case pragmatically, even if you look at sentencing. Not all men are rapists. Let's start with that. But all good men hate rapists. All good men that I know would fight to their very last breath to prevent an innocent woman from being raped. Even hardened, do you have any idea who get hardened criminals in prison? This is the thing that's so crazy to me. If you're a rapist and you go to prison, ironically, you're getting raped, which we joke about and is fine. And I'm not saying that I'm upset about that because of the double standard. I think it's funny. But it's crazy to me that people act as though we do not tolerate rape. Every man I know hates rapists. Even bad criminals, armed robbers, arsonists hate rapists. But you know what? The men you want out there castrating the rapists, the men you cling to when the wolves are at the door, they're never the white knight modern male feminist who travel in packs like the wolves. Those men are cowards. They don't respect women. They're just looking for an in. And I saw this at the Change My Mind with the guys walking in going, well, I think that this made my friend cry. You're just trying to get laid, man. You don't even have a point of view. You don't have any beliefs. How am I supposed to believe that you're going to stand up for anything? You don't even stand for anything yourself. You came up to this desk and you said, well, I'm really not prepared. Shut up and go home and learn to be prepared, because a man should be prepared if you believe in anything. And this isn't some false machismo bullcrap, okay? I'm asking you, women, genuinely, what kind of a man do you want when the wolves are at the door? If you're at a party, you're uncomfortable with some douchebags around, they're drinking too much, you're feeling a little vulnerable, who do you want there with you? What kind of a man do you reach for? It doesn't have to be that extreme. Let's say your supposed best friend at work betrayed you, tossed your lot in with the rest of the gaggle in the office, and they got you to be fired from your job. Okay, I'm just trying to think of some example that's not as extreme as rape, but rape is on the mind. Everything is rape these days. Lie a whore, and you know it. That's what's on the brain. Sorry. But okay, let's just say you're in a situation, maybe many of you are in this right now. This is for the women out there. You have a friend, I hear this story a lot. I've had it happen to me. Betray you, you lost your job. You come home. What kind of a man do you want to reach for? Because that's what matters. And to the men out there, what kind of man are you? I understand that this trial's evoked a lot of emotions, right? But I've seen a lot of generalized negative talk about all women. I know how I sound when I say this, even though I think it's important to note that someone like Ford is an exception, not the rule. So instead of saying all women are crazy, women suck, what kind of a man are you? What kind of a woman are you going to attract? Will it be a Christy Ford? Can you say that you are the man? The woman who, if you had to pick, right? If you could pick the woman you love, are you the man in a room full of guys that she'd want by her side when the wolves are at the door? Because that comes with a track record. That comes with a track record. That's not a sit down and listen, you made my friend cry, but I'm not really prepared for this. That's a track record, a lifetime of honesty, integrity, discipline. No one just rolls the dice on the squad leader. And if you're not that man, you need to work on yourself. Because the kind of woman you want, she's not going to want you. So I do get a little bit tired where I see guys passing the buck going, oh, no, I'm afraid to date anyone because, look, women are crazy. No, no. Maybe you need to look at yourself, too. Yeah, things can happen. You can be totally in the right, and they can Brett Kavanaugh you. Allegedly. I think he probably did none of it. That's just my opinion at this point. But what about yourself? Are you the man that the woman you would want would choose? I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that it's easy to make these assumptions with the bombardment of news lately, that either all women are crazy or all men are scumbags. And I know that's not true. You know that's not true. But it's time to really start working on showing that. Women, you need to have higher expectations from your men, period, which is not something that feminism has taught. Feminism has let men off the hook, and men, you need to have higher expectations of yourself. Also, don't say you were raped if you weren't raped. Let me give you an example of someone, because to go back to anger, when people say anger's not a bad thing, there's righteous anger versus douchebaggery. Jesus knocked over the temple, would you call them tables back then? I don't know exactly. Basically, Jesus was pissed. Now, this is a parable. Let's just say you believe it's a parable. Let's just say, right, that you're not sure if Jesus the man actually existed. Okay, the parable still believes in a sinless man, a perfect man, who got really pissed and threw over tables, at least caused property damage. That's the guy you want when the wolves are at the door. Guy I have a lot of respect for, someone who works in this show, Johnny Boy. I've told the story before. I don't think I've ever told it on air. This is a true story. This is why he became my best friend in high school, and I'm fortunate enough to have him working on the show. I was talking with him, right? So you're me. And he's talking on the bus, this is the front of the bus, the camera for this. This is the back of the bus. He's talking with me. I'm between the camera and myself right now. I hope I've described this. And we were talking probably about Jaws or something. He was obsessed with Jaws. And there's a kid at the back of the bus throwing pennies. And they're hitting him in the back of the, and he's talking to me. He's getting a little bit annoyed. Tells me, hold on a second. I see him walk up to the back of the bus, this kid. I believe his name was Matt. He says, hey, man, could you do me a favor? Could you stop throwing pennies? Guy says, yeah, what are you going to do? I say, okay, could you stop throwing pennies, please? Walks back up to me, sits down in the chair. This is me, right? This is the front. You're the camera. You're the front of the bus. People listening on audio, you need to go watch this. This is a visual, okay? I'm creating a diagram just like the score where they have the tunneling. So goes back talking to me about 30 seconds later. Ding, more pennies hitting his head. At this point, my friend Johnny Boy stops, looks back, in other words, to signal, I already asked you about this, and the kid just gives him one of these. I think gave him the finger. Nothing else was said. We continued talking, and the pennies kept going for about 2 minutes, until all of a sudden we hear, ding! The kid was getting off. It was his stop. By the way, they were in the same grade. There wasn't a size discrepancy. As the kid's about to walk off the bus, looking over, grinning, my friend Johnny Boy is talking. He goes, hey, hold on 1 second. Stops me, stands up, looks at him, and hits him as hard as I've ever seen a human being get hit. And the guy stumbled off the bus. And about 30 seconds later, because the bus driver was going, ah, it's correct. He was French-Canadian. He kind of came to. He goes, yeah, get off at my stop. Let's see what happens. Well, here's the funny thing. The next day, guess what? He has to get back on that bus. He did. Not a word was spoken. He didn't go out looking for a fight. He wasn't a bully. But there was nothing wrong there. That was righteous indignation. That was righteous anger. And guess what? He's a friend of mine. He's the guy I would reach for as a buddy when the wolves are at the door. And that's the kind of man you want to be to your woman, to your friends. And if you're a woman out there, that's the kind of man you want in your life. And ironically, when we see this all the time, even though I believe you're strong, independent women like my wife is, like Johnny Boy's wife is, like my mother is, the only ones who are so weak that they have to scream to be heard are the liberal feminists, are the people like the Fords of the world, are the people like we saw at the Change My Mind. I think so. I do think this is an important part of this conversation. It's easy to get pissed with rape and no rape and she's crazy and this person's a bitch and this person's a jerk. I think it's important to take this opportunity to say, okay, what are the roles that we have in society as men and as women? And I think even more important is not just what roles do we have as men and as women, But what are you looking for in a man and a woman? And today we just talked about men. Maybe next week we'll talk about women, but I'll have to get a consultant. See you next week. It only takes